Well, good evening. It's, again, just good to see you and glad that you're able to join us tonight. Tonight, I want to take a little bit of time as we reflect on the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross and to think about what that means, Christ crucified. You know, the death of Christ is far more than just a historical event. And the crucifixion of Christ is even greater than just the gruesome details of the immense physical pain and suffering that Jesus experienced. The cross is the greatest display of love that the world has ever seen. And tonight, I just want to take a few minutes and draw our reflection to this one very familiar and short verse in Romans chapter 5. And this very short verse from Paul's letter written to the Romans gives us insight into the love of God. And so I want to have us think about this, maybe for the first time, maybe for the millionth time, but I want to think about this with you tonight, is what is God's love like? What is it like? How does God love? Who does God love? And maybe the question for you tonight specifically is, does God love me? Does God love you? There are some verses, I think, in the Bible that seem to hold a measure of power that is immensely significant within a few words. And I think that this is one of those verses. These 18 words are some of the most glorious in all of the Bible. And if you're wondering about the love of God, then this verse surely explains it. And it is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it says this, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What did Jesus do was the most loving action that has ever taken place in the universe. What took place on the cross was a once in history type of event. It happened, but the effects of it are ongoing. It didn't just change history. History was created for it. It didn't just accomplish something in the past, but it has the power to change your future and my future. There is nothing like it. But it is important for us to not lose the wonder of it. Let us not lose the taste of the beauty of the hideous cross of the death of Christ on our behalf. Let us not lose the meaning of the cross. Let it always be treasured in our hearts. We must fight against forgetting and not remembering the truth of the cross and the truth of this verse, because it is the apex of all history that has already happened. And we have seen the love of God for us on a scale that really should just blow us away. That when we look at the cross, it is surprising at its not just significance, but its magnificence for each of us. And so what do you believe about the love of God? I think most of us often think about the love of God in one of two categories. We either tend to think of it as that we're too good for it. You know, it's nice that God loves us. You know, that's a nice thing to say to people, but I don't really need it. I'm good. I've sort of got control of things in my life. I don't really need to be dependent on somebody else's love. Or secondly, we might feel that we are too bad for it, that I have sinned so greatly that there is no way that God could possibly love me, that I have sinned my way out of God's love. But the truth is that we are actually worse than what we really think. And yet we are more loved than we could ever imagine. And that's what the Bible says about all of us. And so I think that there is a third way to look at the love of God. And it's what you might call the gospel way. It tells us that we are too bad for righteousness, but that we can have him anyway through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. See, the gospel humbles the proud, but it also lifts up the humble. The love of God is transformative. We don't deserve it, and yet we can have it. We need it to live, and he gives it to us without cost. What we think about the love of God will determine everything about how we live. And so what kind of love does God have for us? Well, Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. See, your life and my life includes a story of sacrificial death on our behalf. God died for you. You are loved so much that God was willing to nail his son on a cross in order to gain you. And my prayer for us tonight is that every single one of us would walk out of here fully convinced of God's love for you. It is the way to salvation, and it is not in what we do, but in whom we trust. What do you believe about the love of God will determine your eternal fate. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God has shown us his love in the death of Christ, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who rules over all, the one who is in the heavens and does whatever he pleases, the one who has shown his love to us in the death of his only son. And so John 3:16 rings in our ears, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Romans 5:8 is a verse that explains what Jesus said in John 15:13 when he told his disciples, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. What Jesus says in John chapter 15 is what he accomplishes at the cross in John chapter 19. And then Paul explains it to us here in Romans chapter 5. This is the most important story that the world has ever known. The scale of the sacrifice is still being weighed today. In fact, for all of eternity, we will see that the cost and the prize do not seem to be in balance with one another. But there is glory in this gospel that fills up the throne room of heaven. And it pours out joy down into our hearts because it is the gospel. But it's not just the gospel. It's not just good news. But it is a surprising gospel. And so that's what I want to share and reflect on with you tonight, is this surprising demonstration of love that I think is captured in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it explains the surprising gospel by revealing how God shows his love to us in three key ways. There's a surprising way, and it is to a surprising people, and it is at a surprising cost. And so let's just look at this for a few moments tonight. God shows his love to each of us in a surprising way. And I want to just linger here for a moment and let it sink in, because this is really glorious. God shows. God demonstrates. See, God is not a quiet, reserved, kind of no big deal king. He's not afraid to shake up the world. He's ambitious and he's bold and he loves wildly. The very heavens declare the glory of God. Why else do the stars exist? Why are sunsets as beautiful as they are? What purpose would it serve outside of igniting our hearts in fire, understanding that it is a display of God's love? These two words, God shows, speak really to both camps of people who think that they are either too good or those who think that they are too bad for the love of God. We are confronted here with what God does. He shows, he demonstrates. God is a relentless lover. He is always pursuing us, not just so that we will agree at an intellectual level that we are loved, but to feel deep in our hearts that we are loved. It's almost as if he's saying, look, I know that some of you think that you don't need me, but where will you get your righteousness? And I know that some of you think that you can't have me, but what made you doubt my love? Do you realize in the way which God loves? See, God doesn't stop with just words. In fact, he doesn't stop with parting seas. He doesn't stop with pillars of fire or clouds of glory. He didn't stop with breaking down walls at the sound of trumpets. He doesn't stop with voices from heaven or angels standing before us. He doesn't stop with a promise. He doesn't stop with a king. He doesn't stop with one nation. He doesn't stop with only one people group. He doesn't stop with good enough. He doesn't stop with perfect teaching and with amazing miracles. No, he stops with the death of his son on the cross. God the Father loves so intensely that he could not give anything less than the absolute best that he has to offer, himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son. God shows his love to us in a multitude of ways. But the supreme way that he shows his love to us is through the death of Christ for us. What greater love is there? You, in all of your sin, in all of your messiness, you were loved enough by God that he would die for you. And he didn't just tell you that. He showed it to you 2,000 years ago at 3:00 in the afternoon on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. And even more surprising is that he still shows his love in the death of Christ. See, these words are present active tense. God today in this moment is showing us the love that he has had for us through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Now that's the kind of love that we need, and that's the kind of love that God has. I think that that is surprising. God's people have been struggling for millennia to understand the love of God. They have misunderstood him. They have taken him for granted. They have ignored him. And they have sinned against him. But he has never stopped showing his love to them. Ultimately, Jesus left his throne in heaven to come and to show us once for all how deep the love of God is for you. And that's our greatest prayer. The way to our salvation is trusting the God who tells the story that Christ died for sinners. In fact, he died only for sinners. And that really is the second thing that we see in Romans chapter 5. It's surprising that God shows his love to a surprising people. We should be surprised that God would show his love to us. The kind of person that God shows his love to is surprising. He shows his love to sinners. The text is plain. While we were still sinners. If we somehow had this all-seeing eye of God, we would be appalled not only by the sin that we see in each other, but in the sin that we see in our own hearts. I would guess that most of us see only a small fraction of our own sin, but God sees it all. And we need to understand what our sin looks like to God. Our sins aren't just mistakes. You know, sometimes we use that word because it softens it. But the Bible uses words like evil and wickedness in regards to our sin. And so I wonder how often we call ourselves evil and wicked. But this is what we are. We are all a mess. Our sin has ruined us. Every one of us has experienced this. Every one of us has done something that we don't even want to think about. And yet God looks down at us in that condition, in that sin. And he says, I have died for that sin. and you are free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. In fact, our sin is our only qualification. Look at the verse again. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is in the midst of our sin that Christ saves us. Our sin is the only qualification, and we must still be in that sin to qualify, which, of course, we are. But this is insane. The death of Christ still shows the love of God. Paul writes this phrase, God shows, present tense, Christ died, past tense. And so the death of Christ is still showing us the love of God, that one event was enough to show us for all time his love because of the magnitude of the one who died and those he died for. God died for his enemies. Our sin qualifies us, and our faith justifies us through the work of Christ on the cross. Even the way that Paul writes these words is kind of fascinating. What he's saying here is that there is a changing of the guard. There is something that has come in, and then there is something that has gone out. The Greek text here is saying that the death of Christ, that in the death of Christ, we sinners have been redeemed. Even the syntax of the sentence is showing the gospel, not just the words, but the way that the words are arranged. God shows us his love. God shows his love to us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And so finally, that leads to the third surprising element of this verse. God shows his love to us at a surprising cost. Why did Jesus die for us? The simple answer is because he loved us, and to love us till the end, he had to die. But you might even be here tonight and you might suggest there must have been a better way, a different way, another way. Surely someone didn't have to die in order to save me. But the Bible says that God saves sinners, and the only way that to save sinners is for the sin to be paid for by someone. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And therefore, there are two options. Either we die for our own sins, or there is someone else who dies the perfect death in our place. But what does this look like? Is the Father then just an angry God who is just bloodthirsty, while Jesus is the loving, kind-hearted Son who desperately wants the Father's heart to change? By no means, right? To echo Paul, by no means. God is not unjust, and he is not unloving. But for justice and for love to remain compatible, a death had to occur. I like how D.A. Carson, who's a prominent theologian, he says it this way, quote, God demonstrates his love in that Christ died for us. You must not think that God stands over against us while Christ stands for us, as if the Father and the Son are somehow at odds, so that the Father takes it out on the Son. God demonstrated his love by sending Christ. This is bound up with the very nature and mystery of the incarnation of the Trinity. This is the triune God's plan. It hurts the Father to lose his Son, but he does it because he loves us. And the Son demonstrates his love for us by listening to and conforming to his Father's wonderful plan, so that this plan of the triune God is worked out in God's justice, being secured and protected by virtue of the fact that Christ bears our sins, and God's just standards are preserved even when we stand free and go forgiven. God demonstrates his justice in the cross. Do you want to see the greatest evidence of the love of God? Go to the cross. Do you want to see the greatest evidence of the justice of God? Go to the cross. It is where wrath and mercy meet. Holiness and peace kiss each other. The climax of the redemptive history is the cross, end quote. See, it hurts the Father to lose his Son, but he does it because he loves us, because he loves you, because the cost for Jesus was immense. The death of Jesus was costly. Why? Why was it so costly? Because Jesus is the most glorious person in all existence. He was there from the beginning, not just the beginning of the world, but from the beginning of eternity past. It was he through whom and by whom and for whom all things were created. It is he who upholds the universe by the word of his power. It is he who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It is he who is promised, and he who has come, and he who has died, and he who is reigning now and will reign forever. It is he to whom every knee will bow one day. It is he of whom the prophet Isaiah said, "He who is splendid is in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength." And it is also he of whom Isaiah said, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." It is he that has given us access to the throne of grace. This is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is to come, the Messiah, the Christ. This is your Savior. This is God. And there is no greater pain in the universe than the moment that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all people. And in that moment, the Father turned his face away from the Son and gave him over to death so that he might bring those of us who believe to glory. See, it cost something to bring us back. It cost the most valuable person in all of existence. It cost God himself. You were bought with a price. God isn't angry with you because he has done everything that he needs to do to be happy with you forever. The price has been paid in the midst of your sin so that you can be free from the consequences of your sin. And to me, that is surprising. But that is love. And that is the gospel. And so if you're prone to think that you are too good for God's love, can you now see that you are a sinner in need of Christ's saving work? When you see this need, you can have the righteousness that you have longed for. And if you are prone to think that you are too bad for God's love, can you now see that God saves sinners and sinners alone? Only when you see that will you be able to have the joy that you long for. And so tonight, as we reflect on the death of Christ, let us lean into the third way, the gospel way. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, worse than we can think, Christ died for us, more loved than we can imagine. And so let me close with these words from G. Campbell Morgan. "O wondrous cross, therein sin rejected the king and grace crowned him. Therein sin destroyed the priest, and grace through the priest made atonement. Therein sin silenced the voice of the prophet, and grace caught up the message and repeated it to all the race for a new law of life and love. In the cross I see my sin. In the cross I can see God's grace. And hear me, the grace is mightier than the sin, for where sin is, abounded grace did abound more exceedingly." And so tonight we want to invite you to receive this good news, to come to Christ, to see what he has done for you, to come and to live. God shows us his love for each of us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At this time, as we close our service, we're going to participate in communion. And so I'm going to invite our servers.